Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real. I'd like to start off by saying a few words about the latest Phase 1 trade deal that is supposed to solve all of the issues with the current state of anemic global growth. Just so you know, the U.S. will still keep 25% tariffs on $250 billion worth of Chinese imports, along with 7.5% duties on $120 billion of Chinese imports. However, the U.S. did cut those tariffs on $120 billion worth of imports from 15% to 7.5%. So, what it all means is that tariffs may go down by $11.25 billion, but $73.5 billion of tariffs will still remain if the deal gets signed. But the deal is still not yet signed, just like the last time we had supposedly a trade agreement, and also sounds a lot like what the president announced on October the 11th, which, by the way, fell apart only a few days later. So what kind of deal do we really have? Now, China promised to buy a few billion dollars worth of soybeans, and the U.S. will not escalate tariffs. That's good. So what we have is a de-escalation of the trade war for now, until the president gets possibly reelected. But the confrontation with China is far from over, and the problems extent in both nations are very far from being solved. Okay, so this is a very important podcast. I like to think all of these podcasts are important, but this one and the one last week is very, very important. I'll put like a little star or asterisk next to it. So it might be a little bit on the long side because I started off with the trade stuff, but let's get right into it. It's called Farewell to the Dear Beloved Paul Volcker, Hello Monetary Madness. And I'll say, God bless Paul Volcker. He was truly one of a kind central banker. He was truly a one of a kind central banker. And we probably won't see another one like him ever again. It took his extreme bravery to crush the inflation caused by the monetary recklessness of Arthur Burns and the fiscal profligacy of Presidents Johnson and Nixon. Raising interest rates to 20% by March 1980 was wildly unpopular at the time. But in the end, it was what the nation needed and paved the way for a long period of economic stability and prosperity. Back in 1971, the world fully had developed a new monetary, and for lack of a better word, I'll call it technology. Monetary technology, with quotes. Governments learned that money need no longer be representative of prior efforts or energy expended or previous production or have any real value whatsoever. It can be just created by a monetary magic wand and done so without any baneful economic consequences. This phony fiat money can, in the short term, cause asset values to increase far above any relationship to underlying economic activity. And now, having fully shed the fettering constraints of paper dollars that are backed by gold, central banks have printed $22 trillion worth of confetti since the Great Recession to keep global asset bubbles in a perpetual bull market. Now, anyone whose brain has evolved beyond that of a lemur, which happens to be the lowest form of primate, understands that this can only be a temporary phenomenon, one where the ultimate consequences of delaying reality will be all the more devastating once they arrive. This monetary magic wand is also being used to push borrowing costs down to record low levels, so much so that some governments and corporations are now getting paid when they borrow. We all know that. Therefore, it's no wonder to those of us who live in reality that both the public and private sectors tend to pile on much more debt when both real and nominal interest rates are negative. Indeed, debt has been piling up at a record pace. Amazingly, central bankers find themselves in complete denial when it comes to this reality. Now we're going to get to some really good statistics and facts. To this point, the U.S. budget deficit for the month of November was $209 billion and is running a deficit of $343 billion for just the first 2 months of fiscal 2020. And we have the following four data points from my friend John Rubino at dollarcollapse.com. Total U.S. credit, financial and non-financial, jumped by $1.075 trillion in the third quarter, the strongest quarterly gain since Q4 2007. The total is now $74.862 trillion, or 348% of GDP. U.S. mortgage lending increased $185 billion, the strongest quarterly gain since Q4 2007. M2 money supply surged by an unprecedented $1.044 trillion over the past year, or by 7.3%. Thank you, Mr. Rubino. Not only this, but Morgan Stanley. These are some major wirehouses chiming in. This is what I used to be talking about is becoming more and more mainstream by even some of Wall Street's erstwhile conservative and surreptitious and Pollyanna-like wirehouses. So this is from Morgan Stanley. Their research shows that 40% of the investment-grade corporate bond market should actually be rated in the junk category based upon their debt-to-EBITDA ratios, so earnings before interest, taxes, and amortization. In fact, the entire corporate bond market has a record net debt-to-EBITDA ratio. So the corporate bond market has never been more leveraged, it has never been larger, and has never been more dangerous. In the third quarter of this year, U.S. business debt eclipsed household debt for the first time since 1991. And according to BlackRock, global BBB debt, which is the lowest form of investment grade debt, now makes up over 50% of the entire investment grade market versus only 17% in 2001. Here is another fun fact. The IMF calculated that in the next financial crisis, if it is only half as severe as 2008, zombie corporate debt, which consists of companies that don't have enough profits to cover the interest on existing debt, could increase to $19 trillion, or almost 40% of the total amount of corporate debt that exists in the developed world. It's from BlackRock. I'm sorry, that's from the International Monetary Fund. BlackRock said that that investment grade debt now makes up 50% of BBB debt, and it represents 50% of the investment grade debt. The problem should be clear, even to the primates that govern our money supply. Global governments have already proven completely incapable of ever normalizing interest rates, and every moment they continue to force borrowing costs at the zero bound level compels these corporations to pile on yet more debt. This means the corporate bond market is becoming increasingly more unstable, just as it also raises the level from which bond prices will collapse. When, not if, the next recession arrives. It's not a matter of if, it's when. And speaking of recession, during the next economic contraction, the U.S. national deficit should rise towards $3 trillion per year, 15% of GDP, and that will add quickly to the national debt, which is already at $23 trillion, 106% of GDP. Meanwhile, while this is happening, while U.S. Treasury issuance will be exploding in size, the $10 trillion worth of U.S. corporate debt will also begin to implode. This means the Fed should be forced to purchase trillions of dollars in Treasury debt at the same time it has to print trillions more to support collapsing corporate bond prices. The amount of phony fiat money creation would eclipse QEs 1, 2, 3, and the Fed's current denial of being engaged in QE 4, all put together. I wonder what name Jerome Powell put on this non-QE number 5 when the time arrives. If investors are unprepared to navigate the dynamics of depression and unprecedented stagflation, it could mean the end of their ability to sustain their standard of living. A totally different kind of investment strategy is needed during an explicit debt restructuring, as opposed to one where the government pursues an inflationary default on its obligations. I believe the government, by the way, will be engaged in both at different times. That is what the inflation deflation and economic cycle model was built to do, determine what sector we are in. Get prepared while you still have time. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.